History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We believe in the power of being everywhere. Listen to WWL anytime, anywhere. Get the WWL shows that you love and the local content you crave on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. Back here on Sports Talk, talked a little NBA in that first segment, not much, but looking at some of the over-under win totals for the 2025-2026 season, this is from DK Sportsbook. The Pelicans' season win total for next season, they're not very high on them, Charlie. 31.5 victories after a 21-1 win season a year ago. That would be a big disappointment if the Birds are at least healthy going into this year.
So I'm going to sound like a homer. But
no.
I'm just being honest. Look at the talent that the Pelicans have on this roster.
Right.
The only way that they go under 31.5 wins is that they get wrecked by injuries like they were in the past season. Now, I know that people have criticized, oh, how do these players fit next to each other? That's the one thing that Joe Dumars continues to say. Just like we have these high IQ guys that will figure it out. Right. And they trust their coaching staff as well. The Pelicans 31.5, Steve, I know I had mentioned this in the 5 o'clock hour. It's only above the Suns, who are at 30.5, the Hornets at 24.5, the Nets at 21.5, the Wizards at 20.5, and the Jazz at 18.5.
The poor Jazz.
Well, and listen, if you're looking at some of these, because when I went through the full list of the 30 teams, a few of them stuck out like sore thumbs, which is like, I would hammer the under. For instance, Philadelphia at 43.5, I laughed. What, do they think that Joel Embiid's going to play 70 games this year?
Yeah.
I don't. Do they think Paul George is going to miraculously go back to his old self after the miserable year that he just endured? Do they think Tyrese Maxey is going to be able to carry the load with VJ Edgecombe? I don't really know how they expect the Sixers to be at 43.5.
Right in that range, too. I'm shocked to see the Celtics also at 43.5.
Yeah, because you expect them to be taking a quote-unquote gap year, right, with Jason Tatum's Achilles tear.
Right.
I know that they still have some solid pieces with, like, Derek White and Jaylen Brown. But they've lost a lot from last season's team, Steve. I'm right there with you on the Celtics. A couple others that really stood out to me, the Pacers at 39.5. I don't think they're going to be a bottom five team in the NBA, despite losing Miles Turner and obviously Tyrese Halliburton for the year with that Achilles tear. Similar situation with the Celtics, though, Steve, is that they got their pick back. The Pelicans sent them their 2026 first in return for the 23rd overall pick, which ended up turning into the Derek Queen trade and everything like that. I think that they could just similarly with the Celtics take a gap year. And maybe they don't because they have plenty of depth. They can roll out some guys that are really solid. Another one that stood out to me, the Kings at 37.5. And if you're talking about the Pelicans sneaking into the top 10 for the Western Conference in the 2025-26 season, Steve, you got to take out a couple teams, right? Because you think the Spurs are going to make that leap too.
Right.
And I think Portland's going to be in contention to try and make that leap as well. For me, I think the Sacramento Kings are one of the teams that was in the top 10 this past year that's going to crater out of the top 10 in the Western Conference this year. So that's one spot, and then you'll have to find the other spot as well. You know, just kind of going down the list as well.
47.5 for the Lakers seems awfully high.
You'll have to see what happens. There's still more to be determined with the Lakers and what happens with LeBron. For me, the Raptors at 34.5 feels a little bit high. I know I'm mentioning a lot of Eastern Conference teams, and the reason that these odds are a little bit boosted for some of these squads is because they're going to be playing each other and the East is going to stink next year.
So bad.
The Nets at 21.5. Who do the Nets have that's going to help them win 22 games in the NBA this upcoming season? That's my question. So, you know, there's a few teams on here that I'm like, I am selling stock. But as far as the teams that you're buying stock on, I mean, the Pelicans are right up there. 31.5 feels low, Steve, in my opinion. The only way that they go under that total is, once again, if they get wrecked by injuries like they did in the 2025 season.
I hope so, Charlie, because it was just, you know, it was brutal last season covering the team.
I know, but the talented pieces are there. And if you're expecting Yves Missi to take that step entering year two, feel really, really good about your big man rotation with him and Kevon Looney, right?
It's like a broken record, though. We say it all the time. It's all going to depend on
Zion.
The health of Zion Williamson. Right?
I agree. But even then, Derek Queen is a really good backup four right off the bat in his early on in his career. Maybe he plays some small ball five. But, you know, apparently he's been playing the four with Missi in practice leading into summer league. So you can kind of anticipate him playing the four with the Pelicans center rotation. So So it's something to keep an eye on with him being an instant impact player for the squad. The wing rotation is fun, Steve. And maybe the guard depth is a little thin, right? Where you have Jordan Poole right now. DeJounte Murray is going to be recovering from the Achilles tear that he suffered in January. It's the third player that I mentioned with an Achilles tear in this segment alone. So he's going to be out for quite some time. You bring in Jordan Poole as a combo guard that can play the one for you right off the bat. You have Jose, you have Jeremiah Fears. That's the one spot that you feel, okay, well, you don't feel great about the guard depth, but the wing depth you feel really good about. You have Herb Jones that can start at the two or the three, depending on the matchup. Same thing with Trey Murphy. Kind of switch the tweeners. Both those guys play out on the wing for you. Two different pieces, but two very valuable pieces. And then off the bench, you have Sadiq Bey and maybe this Micah Peavy kid, man. Like, I've heard so many good things about what he can provide right off the bat defensively.
Right.
You know what Willie loves in young players. It's defensive effort. So maybe he has a spot on this team early as well, off the bench, alongside someone like Sadiq Bey. You feel great about the wing rotation. You feel now better about your power forward depth with drafting a Derek Queen. And you feel good about your center rotation with Emisi expected to take a big step ahead of year two. And then you have the Kevon Looney signing as well. So it just feels like there's too much talent on this team to be sitting the sixth worst over-under total in the NBA, Steve. I don't know.
I feel like last year's memory kind of just is burnt into folks'
right.
You know, memory banks.
That's
there.
That's exactly what
and,
it is.
And they're not really considering, oh my goodness, this team was just decimated last season.
Just look at the roster. That's all I like when I'm looking through these teams and determining, oh, do I like the over or the under? Am I buying or selling stock in this team? Just look at the talent that each roster has. And you can talk about the coaching and the impact that that has as well. But if you're just talking about your 15-man roster for the 2025-26 season, the Pelicans, I think, are better than that win total from DraftKings. That's just my opinion.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.